Psalm 100. We look at verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. How many of you know it didn't have to be melody, it just has to be audible? A noise is not always real melodious, but he's not looking for you to be able to sing like the singers on the platform. He just wants to hear you praise. And he wants to hear joy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Brother Hagin said because he's going into the ministry, he thought, well, I ought to learn to sing. And so he tried to sing and he couldn't, so he went and got some voice lessons. And they were trying to help him out. And they said, the guy that was giving him voice lessons said, I've never told anybody this, but I feel like I'm taking your money under false pretenses. He said, Brother Hagin said, I could never get above a certain level of the scale, you know, singing. That's as far as I could go, you know. And so he said, that's the only thing I don't have a positive confession about. He said, I just can't sing. He said, but he can make a joyful noise.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
So it doesn't matter what you sound like. You know, when it's only your shower head or your steering wheel hearing it anyway, who cares? According to this verse, the Lord doesn't. He just wants to hear something melodious, something, that's not what I meant when I said that. I meant something joyful is what I meant to say. He wants to hear something that's different than a groan. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with heaviness. Because you never did have it so bad when you were serving the devil. I mean, you know, serving the devil was a lot easier than serving God. No, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, people that say that, they'll say, well, I never had it so hard serving the devil. There's no help for folks like that. Amen. That's just one big steaming heap of unbelief. That's what that is right there. I'll just move on. I won't camp on that. Come before his presence with singing. Hallelujah. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Yeah, some people need to know that. It's he that made us. We have not evolved. We are his people. And the sheep of his pasture.
Yes, sir.
The sheep. We are his sheep, aren't we? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want one for healing. I want one for victory. I want one for direction. I want one for comfort. I don't want for supply, for money. I want one want for the rent or the mortgage or the electric bill. Or the Lord is my shepherd. We're the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise.
Yeah.
Say that out loud. I enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. I'm thankful unto him, and I bless his name. Hallelujah. Say, I enter his gates. Say it again. I enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Say, I enter. I want to look at that word enter a little bit.
Yes, amen.
A lot of times to enter his presence, you've got to exit something else. You got to leave another place. And here he said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace. And these courts, these gates, and so forth, and the courts. The gates are around the throne of God, and then the courts are before the throne of God. And then you enter into his presence beyond that, into the very holy of holies, the very presence of God, the very throne of God. Come boldly, Hebrews said, to the throne of grace. Well, how many of you know there's protocol of how to approach the throne? Just like there's protocol, you know, like in the old days you see it in the movies, and even today you don't just waltz into the to a ruler's office. You know, back then they had kings. Today we have more presidents and prime ministers and stuff. You don't just waltz in and say, "Hey, I'm here to talk something over with you." There's protocol. We went to the first time in Nigeria in 2006 to go to preach there. We were preaching. I had a minister's conference in this city that Pastor Ike said, "Let's go see the king and talk to him about what we're doing here because we're coming into his city." Now, the king, we would call him the mayor, but they called him the king. It's just different language. He was just kind of like the mayor of that city. So we went in there, and there was all sorts of protocol. Some of you are with us, Leanne, I know, Miss Teresa, Brother Jim, you were there, some others. It was like a courtroom. It was like a throne room. He had this big chair up there. He came in after we were all settled in, and there was protocol about how you approach him, how you address him. You didn't do certain things. You didn't just blurt something out or just ask him a question. There was proper protocol. You were there. And so Pastor Ike knew all that protocol. He grew up there. So we let him lead us. Amen. We entered happy and we left with cola nuts in our mouths. Or maybe Miss Ann spit hers out in her purse, I think. Now, we had cola nuts. That might sound like a treat. And they thought it was a way of them saying, "Welcome, you know. We're so glad you're here." But they made hair grow in your mouth, you know. Yeah. I think some of them just sort of went... act like they're a coffin, and put it down in there. Hallelujah. So we entered his gates with thanksgiving for inviting us there, but we exited with hair in our mouth. Were you there? Oh, you went with us. Anyway, but that's the way it is. When you enter into that king's palace or whatever you call that, his throne room, there was protocol. Same way with God.
Right.
Enter, say enter, his gates with thanksgiving in his courts. See, the with praise. The goal is the throne room. The goal is the very presence of God. Isn't that right? And so you have a royal invitation to come for anything you need. Remember, come boldly that we might attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. There's things you need. There's things you are in want of. And God's got it. Somebody said, "Where'd you get that?" I got that at the getting place. Come boldly that you might obtain mercy and find grace. I got it at the getting place. Praise God. Pastor Debbie buys stuff at where all her stores, but really she gets it at the getting place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She just says, "Father, I have a supply. And I know he'll pay it off. Pay the credit card off at the end of the month." Because we don't let it go and get interest, we just pay it off. But she's got a supply.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She came with a supply.
Amen.
She came into my life with a supply.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I wasn't the supply. She's the daughter of the king, So before we meddle too much and get in trouble, let's keep on moving here. You have to come. You're invited to the throne of grace, but you have to come through the gates of thanksgiving and praise. And like I said, in order to enter into the presence of God, you've got to exit some things. Do you know when you come through the gates of thanksgiving and praise, you're starting to draw that praise and thanksgiving out of your spirit? Because a lot of times you don't feel like it. A lot of times there's nothing going on that makes you want to praise God. And so what you're doing is you're entering into the Spirit by praising God, because you're doing that out of your heart in faith, not out of your feelings. So what are we saying about entering? You've got to enter His presence by praise, but you've got to exit your emotions. You've got to exit your feelings. Are you with me this morning? I'm just going to stay on praise this morning. We're actually going to make the series for January. If you want to get started over Christmas, you can get started. We're going to make it the series we did on praise. What happens when you praise God correctly. Because this has been in my heart for a couple of weeks. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God's looking for some different sounds in the world today.
Amen.
A lot of groaning and moaning in 2020.
Right.
I'm my house is going to be a house of praise. I got up one morning a couple weeks ago, and something had shifted. I could just tell something had shifted in the spirit realm where I had a lot of unction to pray. And I haven't stopped praying. Don't misunderstand me. Where I had a lot of unction to pray, all of a sudden praise is just coming out of my... I laid there. There's a bed up in the loft. I got up and laid down, you know, had my devotions laid down in that little bed upstairs. I laid there for, I think, an hour and a half, just praise pouring out of me. Praise you, Father, for this. Thank you for this. I knew something had shifted in the spirit realm.
Amen.
Something had shifted in the spirit realm. And the Lord spoke to us about it. Was it last Sunday? That there's going to be times in 2021 where the anointing will come on us to pray. And then the anointing will shift and it'll come on us to praise. Equal time needs to be given to prayer and to praise. You know, remember, I believe it was Lillian B. Yeomans years ago had that vision. She was diagnosed. She really wore her body out. She was a medical doctor, but wore her body out. And she was in a bad condition. And she had prayed about this situation for a long time. And the Lord showed her a vision of one of those old-time balance scales. Except it was like this. One side was real low. The other side was real heavy. The one that's real heavy and low, you know, was it said prayer on it. The one that's up here didn't have hardly anything in it. Was praise. And the Lord spoke to her, and she saw that. She said, "Well, Lord, what's that?" The Lord said, "This is your prayer as compared to your praise. When your praise equals your prayer, you'll be healed." And if I remember the story right, she praised God for 3 or 3.5 days or something. And when she got that equaled out, the power of God hit her, and she was completely healed. Woo! There's power. See, anybody can pray when they have a need. I mean, even the heathen do that. But it takes faith to praise. It takes faith. Not everybody can praise because that takes faith. I said that takes faith. And listen, we're to be people of faith. That means we're people of praise. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But to do this, really, we've got to talk about it a little bit, because I've been around some folk in the last 6, 8 months, 9, 10 months, whatever, that need to hear this sermon this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To do that, we've got to exit something else.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
I said, you got to exit something else.
Yes,
you got to exit your emotions, exit your feelings.
Yes.
And in other words, you can't enter His presence with all the feelings and all the complaining and all the trouble in your mouth and talking about how bad it is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I said you can't do it.
Amen.
Doubting, being emotional. Enter His gates with emotions.
No,
enter His gates with praise. You just aren't going to get there with emotions. I said, you're not going to get there with emotions. His security is tighter than that.
Amen.
Amen. Praise is the password.
Yes.
Praise opens the door. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. The gates fly open. Praise you, Lord. When you praise and you thank Him, the gates fly open. And the presence of God is accessed freely.
Yes.
In other words, there's nothing hindering you from coming right into the presence of God. Because you've exited your emotions and you've come in with praise in your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't understand how bad it is. Well, maybe we'll just kind of delete these verses from the Bible then. But my case is a special case. Yeah, special unbelief. That's what kind of it is. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just praised God quietly though. Well, this verse said, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise.
Amen.
Amen. That quietness a lot of times is just the bondage of your emotions.
Yeah.
And besides that, in the 16th chapter, in Paul and Silas's case, in jail, the Bible didn't say they prayed and sang praises unto God and nobody heard them.
Nope.
Said the prisoners heard them.
Yes, sir.
What if somebody hears me? Yeah, what if?
Amen.
Maybe they'll be get free too, just like those other prisoners.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to shuck the corn this morning. This is Iowa, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Show some faith. Show some faith with your praise. You know, praise God with a loud voice, the Bible says. It talks about praising Him on high. Praise Him with a loud voice, the Psalms talk about. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. It's what the Word tells us to do in our circumstances. Isn't that right? And in Acts 16, God gave equal time, or the Word gives equal time to prayer and to praise. And we pray out loud. We ought to praise out loud. Hallelujah. And the Bible says they prayed, and this is Acts 16. I'm just warming up here, getting to something. In Acts 16, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Notice when it comes to our praise, notice who the audience is. Notice it's not other people. We've instructed this team. You're not entertaining. This is not a concert. In a concert, the audience, the people are the audience. This is not a concert. We've instructed them. This is praise and worship time, and it's unto God. You can find that over and over in the New Testament. Unto God. Unto God. Unto God. Praise is always unto God. Thanksgiving is always unto God. So in praise and worship, God is the audience. Isn't that right? And He's waiting to hear the sound and the voice of praise according to these verses, because He wants to inhabit our praises. Because the Bible said He inhabits the praises of His people. He wants His power to be manifested in our lives. That's why He says to praise Him. And that's why He says to praise Him out loud. Out loud. I said out loud. Tell your neighbor, He's saying, the Word of God is saying out loud. Amen. Hallelujah. And so God is the audience. And so He wants us to praise Him out loud, not just silently in our hearts. Isn't that right? The prisoners heard them. You read Revelation 5 and a couple of verses, Revelation 7, Revelation 8, Revelation 12. All those chapters, you'll find a verse in there. You can just read them all, you know, just find the verses yourself. But there's several verses in there. It says that in heaven, they praised Him with a loud voice. If you don't like the sound of praise, don't go to heaven. Be sure and don't go to heaven, because you're going to be very nervous in heaven. Because up there they praise wild, they praise loud. Yeah. Even if you don't like it down here, you're going to love it up there. Because you won't be in the flesh up there. In fact, I can prove from the Bible, as soon as you hit those golden streets, you will not be Methodist, Episcopalian, Catholic. You'll be full-blown Pentecostal. Because the Bible said we're going to enter His, it says in 1 Peter there, it talks about being received into His presence with exceeding joy. That means joy inexpressible with words if you look it up. But it is still joy being expressed. So it's being expressed, just not with words. I mean, you're going to hit those golden streets with a dance. You're going to do something. You're going to be different than you are down here. Full-blown Pentecostal, instantly. Full-blown Pentecostal. And that's good for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, In Hebrews 13:15, he said we're to praise God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. Yes. Amen. 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 Praise God. So with the fruit of our lips means out loud. Yes. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Say out loud.
Out loud.
Some people want to make excuses for being quiet with their praise. And they say things like, well, that's just not my personality. Oh, so you're disobedient because of your personality. You think God will say, yeah, I know, my word said, but you know, I know it wasn't your personality. No, we're not going to be disobedient because of our personality. Praising God with a loud voice is directions that God gave us regarding how to praise. Isn't that right? Now somebody said, why does he need me to say it loud? Really, you need to say it loud for yourself. You need to do it for yourself. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
Because, you know, there's a lot of things that when you do it out loud, it grabs your attention. As long as you're quiet, you can just sit there and your attention can be on something else. Amen. So, people say things like, it's not my personality. I have it in my heart, but I'm not very expressive. Really, I don't believe you have it in your heart, by the way. Because the Bible said, you know, there's verses in the Bible that prove you to be a fraud. Amen. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen. Amen.
And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance.
Yes, amen.
If we look on your face and don't see joy, and we listen to your voice and don't hear joy, according to those two verses, it's not in there. You're heavy. You're in your emotions.
Amen.
Not trying to get mean on anybody this morning. We're just showing us, holding up a real big mirror and looking at ourselves. All of us are looking at ourselves this morning.
Hallelujah.
So if these verses are so, it says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. If that's so, and a person is always carrying a cloud of bad weather around with them wherever they go. You know what I mean by bad weather? You know, spiritually, there's always a cloud of heaviness, and it's always dark and gloomy, and it's always rainy, and, you know. Then something that we need people to know is they don't really carry it in their hearts. You know, there's pessimists and there's optimists and there's all kinds of this. And there's more and more people in our culture becoming pessimists. I mean, so many bad things have happened. They're not expecting anything good anymore. And that can't get into us as believers. And I'm not just talking about having a good, positive outlook on life. I'm talking about having some faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So if we're always heavy-hearted and talking about our problems and have a sad countenance, we're always gloomy in what we say, these verses say it's because we don't really have it in our hearts.
Amen.
Faith carries sunny weather with it wherever it goes, regardless of circumstances. You shouldn't be able to tell that a person's going through something just by looking at their face. Now, I know people don't like that. They think, well, you know, but I'm sad. Well, I know. We've all been there. We understand that. Yeah, I remember one time, I'll tell you a story on me. I wouldn't want to tell one on you, but I remember one day, I don't know what I was going through, but I just didn't feel like praising God that day, And I was, you know, people that praised were irritating me. Or let me rephrase that, my flesh. I'm getting irritated by people that were praising God. And so I was kind of to myself that day and didn't want anybody to say, glory to, you know, look at you real in the eyes and say, glory to God, you know, and I'd have to praise the Lord. I just didn't want to that day. Amen. You could put your name on this story, by the way. Probably at some point in your life. And I never forget, I was walking through the foyer of the Prayer and Healing Center, and I looked, the front doors had glass on them. I looked through there was a main drive that came into campus right down toward the Prayer and Healing Center. I looked out those doors, and here comes that head usher, I forget his name, that was always up, always praising, always loud about it. The head usher in healing school, I mean. He was a bodybuilder, a big guy, and so you better praise God. He'd be like, boom, you know. I'm kidding. No, he wouldn't. But I'm just saying. He's always one of those guys. He just pulls you in.
Yeah.
And I looked and I saw him coming. And I was in my emotions so bad that day, I just went. And I went back into the storeroom of the book room where they store the extra books that they sell out there. And I closed the door and waited for him to leave. I know you don't believe it, but it actually happened. I just was in my emotions that day. I didn't want to praise God that day. I mean, the devil's bigger than God that day. You know what I'm talking about? You've been there. Come on. Yeah, I am speaking to you. Well, I have it in my heart. I'm just not expressive. No, I didn't really have it in my heart. You ever been mad when somebody else is praising God? You go, argh. You know, that came on the 10 spot. Well, that came on the congregation whenever they got mad at. Remember it when those 10 spies came back spying the land? Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. We could go up at once. And they're always speaking their faith and rejoicing that God's with them and so forth. And the rest of them got so mad at that confession of faith, they wanted to stone them with stones. You ever had that murderous spirit come on you? Somebody's praising God and you're like, well, if you knew what I was going through, and then you just... I'm preaching to somebody this morning. Just because God's good to you doesn't mean he's been good to me lately. I'll tell you, let me tell you something. You know, and you just get going. Come on now. Hallelujah. Faith carries sunny weather regardless of the circumstances. Just carries it around with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can read people's faith on their face. Amen. Yeah, that's a verse in Proverbs 27:19. As in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. Amen. But you can change the spiritual weather too. But it requires exiting the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I've been there, so I've told stories on myself. So don't feel like I'm preaching down at you. I know what that's like. The flesh does not want to praise God. Because it wants to, it likes feeling emotional, feeling bad, feeling like a victim. It likes being sad. It likes some to crawl in bed and have somebody give me chicken noodle soup for, you know, and treat me like a victim, treat me like I'm, you know, come on. That's the flesh. We've all been there. We've all been there. Amen. Hallelujah. The word is good. Amen. So, we have verses that talk about praising God right out loud with our mouth. Amen. Well, I just do it in my heart, my own way. He doesn't want you to praise Him your own way. Everything we do, God gives us instructions of how to do it. Amen. He wants us to praise Him the way the Word tells us to. And it's mentioned with a loud voice. Amen. Isn't that right? And so he tells us how he wants us to express ourselves. Well, I'm disturbed by all the amens in church. It's too noisy. I mean, just too noisy. Why are you not disturbed by all the noise on the TV at your house? Why do you go to a football game and everybody's
yes, sir.
And you're not sitting there going, I'm so disturbed by all this noise. Just helping somebody. I want to tell you something about you maybe you don't know. You're in bondage. Amen.
Amen.
It's not the noise that bothers you. It's the faith that bothers you. It's the faith that bothers you. Isn't that right? Your unbelief is convicted in the manifestation or in the presence of faith and manifestation. Amen. Where there's rejoicing, there's faith. Where there's silence, there's no faith. Well, praise the Lord. Let's just go ahead and close right now. I mean, where there's no rejoicing, there's no faith. Amen. Hitler didn't praise God.
No.
Mussolini didn't praise God.
No.
Saddam Hussein didn't praise God. Amen. Castro and Cuba didn't praise God. These are people without a God. So they don't praise. We do have a God. And He's worthy. And guess what? He's bigger than our circumstances. Glory to God. I said, glory be to God. That's why He's worthy, because He's bigger than our circumstances. And He's got enough power to get us out of whatever we're in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're to praise Him because He's bigger than our circumstances. And another reason we should be praising Him is because praise in our mouth enhances fellowship. You ever been around somebody that all they want to talk about is how bad it is and how gloomy it is and how all their bad things? Now listen, people have gone through things and they don't live there. But sometimes we just want to talk with them and encourage them and so forth, find out what's going on. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody saying anything about what they're going through. But I'm talking about living there. I'm talking about people that just live there. You know? And do you ever notice if a person that just keeps going there all the time, and if it's not one thing, it's another, just keeps going on about their hardships and their tests and their trials and so forth and so on, do you ever notice that affects your fellowship with them?
It does. Yes, sir.
It does. You just end up not really wanting to be around them because it's just going to be a sad story. And you're sitting there thinking, do you want to swap stories? Do you want me to tell you my stories? You want me to try to outdo you with my stories? Because I could tell some doozies. Have they put you on the news, the 9 o'clock news and the 10 o'clock news and then the next morning and then the 6 o'clock news?
Come on.
Huh? I can tell you some doozies, man.
Come on.
No, you don't want... We ought to demand equal time with those people sometimes. Okay, I'm going to tell mine. Now you sit and you listen to all of mine.
Yeah. Right.
And just make them listen. Eventually they're like, well, you know, this isn't getting us anywhere, is it? No, it's not. And you're not getting yourself anywhere by always telling me your stories.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor he's going ahead and preaching all right this morning. Hallelujah. The reason a lot of people struggle with fellowship with God is because they're always talking about their problems rather than His solutions. They come to prayer and they're just praying and talking about God is so bad, it's this, it's the other, it's so bad. Why don't you come just praising Him for the solutions He's already put in His Word? Praising Him that He bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. And boy, that'll get you right into the presence of God where fellowship is sweet. I said, fellowship is sweet.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
How many of you know whenever you're talking about all your problems, you're glorifying the devil?
Yeah, you are.
The Bible says we're to glorify God. We're to magnify God.
Yeah.
Now, He can't be bigger. Magnify means make bigger. He can't be bigger than He already is, but He can be bigger in our eyes. Amen. Our focus can get shifted from all that the devil's doing to what He's doing, and it's our attention is fully on Him and His majesty and His glory and His ability and His love for us and His willingness and His faithfulness to His Word is just living big on the inside of us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But talking about all the problems all the time is just magnifying the devil. I know they don't mean to say it, but they're saying, praise you, devil. But if you just tell it like it is, they go, whoa, I don't want to do that. Well, okay, then stop moaning and belly aching. And God's done a lot of good things for you. If you can't, if you don't see it in your life, look at it in Christ. It's there in Christ. And just praise Him for what you can't see, but it's written in the Word that you have in Christ. Before you know it, you'll turn around and there it is in your life too. That's the way it works.
Hallelujah.
He's bigger than your circumstances, but He has to be given the opportunity to live big in your circumstances. And praise is the opportunity He needs to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, go back here now to where we were talking about the emotions. Tell your neighbor he's going to get into it now. Yeah, we're going to get into it seriously. The unbelief that is holding people in bondage is the reason they don't praise God. They have not exited their emotions and entered into faith. We used to tell people in healing school all the time, praise Him for His Word even though you can't see it. Can you praise Him for what He said in His Word? Do you believe His Word is true? Then just praise Him for that. Well, I don't have anything to praise Him for. You got that to praise Him for. Isn't that right? I said amen. We've got to recognize that when we come into the presence of God, our tongue is to be unattached or detached. We should get it unhooked, let's say it that way, from our mind and our emotions and hook it up, or our circumstances or our feelings, and hook it up to our spirits and our faith. That's how you exit your emotions. You just start talking about what's in your heart, what's in your spirit, talking about the faithfulness of God, talking about His Word and so forth and so on. Amen? That's how you come to receive. That's how you get access. That's how you get admittance into His presence. Telling Him all that He's done for you and thanking Him for it. Amen? So attach your tongue to your faith. You can't come in with doubt, because doubt is trying to figure it out. You don't come into His presence trying to figure out how He's going to do it, or, you know. One of the things that when I was attacked, well, it was just injured my back. It wasn't that the devil attacked me. I'll just open the door to it. One of the things that I came to immediately, one of the first things, was just the humility to recognize, I can't do this on my own. So I'm going to have to tap into His power to do it for me. Amen. And so I recognize this is going to have to be supernatural. And I humbly laid myself before Him and I said, I am without You. I'm just not talking about myself. I'm talking about without You, Lord. In myself, without You, I am helpless. I am up against it. I'm in a situation that's not possible. You know, on my own. And so I recognize I'm going to have to practice getting in Your presence, where Your power makes what is impossible possible. Amen. So to get there, I'm going to have to go past my feelings, past my emotions. Amen. And hook my tongue up to something other than my emotions, my feelings. Because nobody feels like, in a test or trial, nobody feels like praising God. You feel like laying there and being quiet. But I decided I'm not going to lay here. I'm not going to lay here. I'm not staying down. I'm not just on the bed. I'm not staying down spiritually. I'm not staying down emotionally. I'm getting above this. I've got an exit. I'm taking that exit. And I've got an entrance. I'm taking my entrance into the throne of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. So as we do that, that's the way God has assigned for us to come into His presence. And He wants us to come and receive, and that's how we receive. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I said amen. You can't get into His presence with doubt, trying to figure it out. Right. Well, how's this? How's that? What did the doctor say? But how would God do this? I mean, what needs to be done? Does that vertebrae need to be healed? Does that disc need to be inflated? Does the nerve need to be healed? And you know, you sit trying to figure it out. And you just don't have to figure it all out. Yeah. You don't have to understand everything. In fact, that'll hinder your faith sometimes. Yeah. Because you're trying to figure it all out. Figure it out. Just praise Him. He knows exactly where the power needs to hit. Amen. And you just praise Him when you don't understand. Faith bypasses the understanding and enters into the presence of God from the heart to receive the answers. Isn't that right? I said hallelujah. Let's talk about a couple of things that happens when we praise. We're not going to go as long as we normally do. Don't get in unbelief. One of the things that happens when you praise God is It invites God into your situation. Psalm 22:3, we already referred to it. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Let's think about that. God inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, and we know He lives on the inside of us. We understand that. But He's saying something different to us here. He inhabits the praise. In other words, His presence fills our praises. Okay. Somebody said, well, God's everywhere all the time. But He's not in manifestation everywhere all the time. So when He said He inhabits our praise, He's talking about His presence manifests in praise. In other words, He fills praise with His presence. His manifest presence. With that thought in mind then, if you understand that, that's telling you that you can put God where you want Him. Okay, my checkbook needs some help right now. I'm going to lay this checkbook right here, and I'm going to praise God over my checkbook. Come on now. You can get Him manifested in your financial affairs.
Amen.
You can put Him right where you want Him. Isn't that right? And do that with wherever you need God to move in your life. So you really determine who's occupying your circumstances by... you know, who the tenant in your circumstances are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's living big in their circumstances? Why don't you evict that tenant and move God in?
Yeah.
Yeah, the devil's doing this and the devil. Why don't you evict the devil by standing right in those circumstances and bring God in? Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Amen. Get a backbone and evict the devil.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So you can get God to occupy your circumstances and become a tenant there.
That's right.
Amen. The one who's destroying can be moved out. And move God into your circumstances. So we really need to understand something, and this is something I know that as the church we're growing in, we've seen as the congregation we're learning this, and it's happening more and more, is that when we come together corporately and we worship God corporately and fill the air with His praises, we literally form what the Bible calls a spiritual house. The Bible talks about it in Ephesians, it talks about it in Hebrews, it talks about it in a number of places. It says... in 1 Corinthians, it mentions it. It says, you are the temple of God. The Amplified says, you the whole church at Corinth. Both individually and collectively. Yeah. We know He lives in us individually and goes with us wherever we go. But individually and collectively means when we come together, we form a spiritual house.
Yeah.
Bible said in 1 Peter, we as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. You're a stone, I'm a stone, others are stones. And when we come together, we form a building.
Yeah.
Not in the natural, the physical building is not the house of God, but we can come in here and form a spiritual building, each one of us lifting our voices and being in agreement and in one accord with the rest of the body. And then what it says over there in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 13 starts happening. It came to pass when David and singers were as one to make one sound in praising and thanking the Lord with instruments of music that the house was filled with a cloud. Oh, yeah, the presence of God is what that cloud is. That's the glory cloud. And when we fill the air with His praises, actually we build a spiritual house that God fills with His glory. In other words, we individually carry the presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit within us everywhere we go. But when we come together, we can corporately form a house for a greater manifestation of that than we have in our individual lives. That's why just being a believer and not going to church there's a lot of stuff the devil keeps on doing in people's lives like that. Because they're not in a place where that stuff is just constantly broken off. That yoke is not constantly being broke up. And I'm not poo-pooing people that don't come to church. I'm just saying they're missing out. They got a stripped-down version of Christianity. You know, when you buy a car, you want the ones that got the electric windows and all the heated seats and all that. Or you can get just four wheels and an engine and stuff, you know. I like the extras. Yeah. And that's the kind of Christianity you really want, if you know it or not. You really want that. So this spiritual house gets built as we corporately worship God together. And in those times, God fills that temple with His glory. And that glory, just like in Acts 16, whenever they praised, Paul and Silas were in prayer and then in praising, and they did it together. They were in one accord. They were in unity. Silas didn't say, "Oh, Paul, you had a vision and said, Macedonia, come over and help us, huh? Well, we're over here helping them, and look at us. I think you had too much pizza that night." I don't think it was a vision from God. He wasn't in disunity. He wasn't in unbelief. He stayed in unity. He stayed in faith. And they got in faith praying and in praising. And that formed a corporate house.
Amen.
If two of you agree on earth, it's touching. It just takes a couple of people. And whenever they filled that house with praise, God filled that house, that praise, with His presence and shook the jail and got them out of there. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. This is the exit from a lot of stuff. This is the entrance into the presence of God. This is the entrance into that glory falling in your circumstances. Praise the Lord. And guess what? It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. I see some faith people that call themselves faith people, and they're dry and dead today. Oh, they're saying the same things, but it's empty of faith and vitality. It's because that faith hasn't been continually filled with the glory of God. Hallelujah. So that's one thing, and we could spend a lot more time on that. That happens when you praise God. You invite Him into your situation and into your circumstances. That's worthy of a praise break right now. Hallelujah! Glory! Whew, glory be to God! Hallelujah! 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 Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, praise Him. We say, praise the Lord. We worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. And that's proper. But praise Him for who He is.
Yes.
Somebody said, you mean He don't know who He is? He needs to know? No. He needs to know if you know who He is in your circumstances. Thank You for being my healer. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Isn't that right? You can be seated. Listen to this. Listen to another thing that happens whenever you praise God. This is found in Psalm 8, verse 2. This is the Old Testament, then I'll bring it into the New Testament. Psalm 8, 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings You have ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. The Amplified says that You might silence the enemy and the avenger. Now, that's just talking about in the King James. It just sounds like it's just talking about out of the mouth of the babe and sucklings you've ordained strength. Listen to the Jesus interpretation of that in Matthew 21:16. Jesus translated this verse, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise.
Yes, sir.
That you might still the enemy and the avenger, or silence the enemy and the avenger. So always put Psalm 8:2 together with Matthew 21:16. In fact, if you go over to Psalm 8:2 in your Bible, right in there, right by it, Matthew 21:16. And you'll always remember that what silences the enemy is praise.
Yeah.
You ever had the devil just yakety yak yak? You're not going to get out of this. You're going to go under. You won't make it. I know God brought you out before, but this time you're done. And just yakety yak yak. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Anybody else know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Are you with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
You ever had him just keep on trying to get in a certain area of fear or something, and he's just talking? This verse says you can shut him up.
Yeah. Amen.
How do you do it? With praise.
Yes.
You can silence the enemy. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
You can just shut him down. Oh, I like that one, don't you? Shut him down. Shut down the yakety yak, but also shut down everything he's doing. Brother Hagin told a story of a preacher years ago, young preacher, just starting out, 17 years old, was invited to this pastor and his church to preach. And while he's there, the pastor got called on some sort of emergency call. And had to leave, but for a few days or whatever it was. But during the time the pastor was gone, the pastor's wife called this young preacher and said, "My daughter, come quickly. My daughter is having a seizure in the house." So he comes there and he does everything. He's young, 20, 17 years old. He's just learning all these things. He bound the devil. He rebuked, He took authority. He prayed. He did everything he knew to do. Nothing's happened. I mean, she's still having the seizure. While he went, finally, when he sort of stopped, the mother just started praising God. Just started worshiping God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. You're our healer. Thank you, Lord. She started worshiping the Lord. And so, the young preacher, he just, I'll just join in with her. So he joined in with, and they were praising God just for a few minutes, and the seizure stopped. Somebody said, it's a coincidence. Well, listen to the rest of the story. So they were standing there, thankful for the deliverance and so forth, and they started talking about natural things. And while they're talking about natural things, the seizure started up again. The pastor, he wasn't the pastor, he's a traveling minister, young 17-year-old, did the same thing. He bound, he rebuked, he took authority, he prayed, he did all he knew to do. Spoke the word, did everything. Nothing changed. And the same thing happened. He got quiet and the mom started praising God. And while she was praising God, the young minister joined in and praised with her. And they praised for just a few minutes and the seizure stopped. And that's the last time she ever had a seizure in her life. Praise the Lord. Well, somebody said, "I've done everything I know to do. Have you done this?" I said, "Have you done this?" In other words, what we can see then from this story here, where it says in Psalm 8:2, you can shut the enemy down with praise. What we see then is, when nothing else is working, do this. Amen. I said amen. Praise the Lord. Praise will work when nothing else does. What we see is another, let's put it this way. It's just another way of saying the same thing. Praise is a weapon.
Yes.
It's one of your spiritual weapons. Oh, I can shout about this one. It's what you use to win victories. Amen. In other words, let's put it another way. There's a close relationship between ministering to the Lord, praising God, thanking Him, and so forth and so on, and receiving deliverance from tests and trials. There's a lot of scriptural support for this. Acts 16, we've referred to that, where Paul and Silas, how'd they get out of that? By praying? Well, prayer and sang praises. Do you know when the deliverance came? Based on the fact that it said they did their praying first, and then they did their praising. The deliverance didn't come when they were praying. It came when they were praising.
Yeah.
Remember Philippians 4? What is it? Verse 6, prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Well, I've been praying for a long time, Pastor. Remember the old time balance scales? Gives equal time. The Bible gives equal time to prayer and praise.
Hallelujah.
I've been praying a long time. Well, then you better get busy with your praising. Just praise Him in the morning. Praise Him on the way to work. At the work, praise Him under your voice.
Yes, sir.
On lunch break, praise Him. Go into the bathroom stall, praise Him. Just keep it up. Just keep it up. Just keep it up. Just keep it up. Just keep. Well, how long am I going to do it? Just pray. Well, it depends how long you've been praying.
Yes, sir.
Just keep it up. Just keep it up.
Yes,
woo! Glory be to God.
Yes,
there's going to come a gusher.
Yes.
The power's going to fall.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
That over there in 2 Chronicles 20, they praised and put the singers out front. You remember that?
Yep.
And that's how they won that victory.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, praising God keeps your perspective right.
Yeah.
It keeps you out of "I'm trying to get it" and keeps you in the perspective of "I'm praising Him for what He's already done."
Yeah.
Keeps you out of wanting to get it, keeps you in faith.
Yeah. Right. Yes,
that's why this will work when nothing else will. Because you really can't do this in unbelief.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So know which tool you need to use in which situation. If the devil's yakety-yak-yak, don't pray in tongues. Was it wrong to pray in tongues? No, but your understanding is unfruitful. So since your understanding is unfruitful, then the enemy can keep harassing your thought life. Do something that engages your thought life. Amen. If your thought life is harassed, which is this verse is talking about, silence is the enemy that harasses. He's talking about the enemy that harasses our minds. If your thought life is harassed, do something that pulls your mind out of those thoughts and gets your mind over on the Lord. Tongues doesn't do that because when you speak in tongues, you're speaking out of your spirit and your understanding is unfruitful, it says. So you can think about something else and pray in tongues at the same time. But you can't praise God and pray you can't praise God for the victory and think about tests and trials at the same time. Praise turns your attention on to God. Tell your neighbor, you needed this, and I needed this too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So they put the praisers out front in there in 2 Chronicles 20. And the Bible said whenever they did that, the power of God was released and the enemy started fighting one another. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So know which tool to pull out. Which tool to pull out of your toolbox?
Yes.
Brother Copeland said, when you pray, you lay hold of things, and when you praise, you win battles.
Yes.
Hallelujah, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's something else we need to recognize here, by the way. It says here that whenever they put the singers out front, they sang praises and went out there singing praises. The Bible said the Lord set ambushments into the enemy's camp, and they got confused and started fighting one another. So, praise confuses the enemy.
Yes. 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 Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. What do I mean it confuses the enemy? That story, they got confused.
Yes.
And they started fighting one another.
Yes.
Which gave Israel the victory, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Which, by the way, they walked away from that battle loaded with all sorts of silver and gold and all kinds of stuff. That'll preach too. But here's the thing. Praise confuses the enemy. When you praise, the devil says, "Uh-oh, what did they find out? Do they know now they're already healed? Uh-oh, uh-oh.
Right, right. Yes, sir.
Sounds like they found out. Uh-oh, uh-oh.
Right, yes, sir.
And they're confused. They can't figure out why you switched. Alarm bells start going off in heaven. In hell, excuse me. Because his strategy against you isn't working anymore. You used to cry and now you're shouting. Yeah, the devil used to come into your life and push those buttons and you'd go, oh, ho, 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 and see, and they'd all laugh and say, "See, he doesn't know who he really is. Ha, 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 we got him." But now he pushes those buttons and you go, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, uh-oh, what did they find out? They must know something. They must know something. let's just shout and praise God this morning.
Yes, glory to God.
Glory. 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 What do we know? We know His word is true. Alexis's word is true. We know it. 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 His word is true. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Years ago, Pastor Debbie was attacked with a disease that put great pain in her body. And Brother Keith Moore gave us the assignment of rejoicing and laughing and just praising God. What was it, 15 minutes every day or half hour every day? Or 15 minutes. And so we said, all right, we're gonna Mary Hart doeth good like a medicine. That was the scripture. So we're going to rejoice for 15 minutes. You know, that felt hard at first. But what happened is we slipped over into the spirit of it, and we didn't want to quit. So we just said, all right, we're not going to quit. We're going to live the rest of our lives this way. And she was delivered. We'd praise God for a few minutes, and pain would start diminishing. And we just kept at it till it was totally gone.
Amen.
Just totally gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm convinced the Spirit of God is talking to so many of us and saying, right here's what the answer is. Right here's what the answer is. Right here's what the answer is. Are we doers of the Word?
Yes, sir.
We are doers of the Word. We're doers of what we know. Somebody said, well, I don't feel like it. Well, we already covered that.
Yeah.
We already covered that. Hallelujah. It's not my personality. We already covered that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But I do it silently. I just have it in my heart. We covered that. And this is not just for church. This is for when you go home from church and tomorrow morning and all day tomorrow. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands one more time. Praise God. Hallelujah.